Hello, I'm Diana Mason, Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Nursing. In the July 2009 issue of the American Journal of Nursing, we're publishing a very interesting article that's actually a qualitative study of residents' perspectives on working with nurses. It's titled, It Depends, Medical Residents' Perspectives on Working with Nurses. And it's written by Dana Weinberg, Diane Cooney Miner, and Lital Rivlin. And I'm pleased to have with me today Dana Weinberg, the lead author and researcher on this study. Now, Dr. Weinberg is an assistant professor in the sociology department at Queens College in Flushing, New York. And some nurses may know her by her book from 2003 called Code Green, Money-Driven Hospitals and the Dismantling of Nursing. And I want to thank you very much for joining me today, Dana.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
I suspect that this study that you are publishing in HAN is going to be making some nurses rather upset and concerned about your findings. You've reported here that the residents that you talked with were clearly influenced by their perceptions of nurses' cooperativeness and competence and their impressions of nurses' professional preparation and demeanor that really varied quite widely. Probably most stunningly, though, is that 19 of 20 residents reported instances of poor communication or problematic relationships with nurses, but didn't believe that this posed a significant threat to patient care, which was really quite stunning given the other literature that's out there. And one of the reasons you chose to do this study, to look at the role between communication and patient outcomes. So tell us about the background of the study. How is it that you came to design this qualitative study of nurses, or I'm sorry, residents' perceptions of working with nurses?
Well, the study itself wasn't actually designed specifically to look at the resident-nurse relationship. The study was put together just a couple years after the duty hour changes in residents' duty hours, so the limits to how long they could be on shift and how many hours they could work in a week. And that particular debate sent off all kinds of issues around what was going to happen to the continuity of patient care. And so my team came into this study thinking about what do units look like when it comes time for a shift change or for handoffs? And as we know, nurses are either on 8 or 12-hour shifts and have been doing shift changes for years and years. But for the residents, this was sort of a new thing starting in 2003 on a lot of specialty floors. And so we wanted to understand what was going on there. How did they understand the team and who they were supposed to talk to and what kinds of supports were there for them to ensure continuity of patient care. And my team had hoped that the duty hour debate would be a time for reflection on other members of the healthcare team besides the doctors and how they might help ensure continuity. And so we asked a lot of questions about, you know, who do you talk to, what other care providers are involved, what do you tell them, what kinds of information do you get from them or do you give them? And given my specific interest in nurses, we asked a lot of questions about the doctor-nurse relationship, or in this case, the resident-nurse relationship. And the findings were stunning. So on the one hand here, we just report what was said about the nurses. But what was really upsetting about the study was that the residents were very reflexive across a number of different institutions in terms of what was supposed to happen at shift changes. We had a lot of reports of residents getting together, sitting around a table as a team, talking about the different patients and the load, and handing off to the other residents. The attendings might flit in and out, but they were really sort of the team leaders, and they weren't involved in this. It was the team of residents that was handling the continuity of care. And they really weren't aware of other members of the healthcare team, either nurses or anyone else, as being involved in this sort of continuity process.
Well, your conclusions suggest that we have a lot of work to do, and I'm wondering, from where you're sitting, if you were the nursing profession, what would be the next steps to try to counter some of what you uncovered as reality in terms of your interviews with residents and how they perceive nurses?
I think, I mean, one of the points, the article focuses very much on the resident-nurse relationship. One of the problems is that we talk about teams in healthcare, and yet they don't seem to be happening all that frequently. And so I think that there's a lot of perception, especially when you get into the nursing literature and you start to see this desire for collaboration and egalitarian treatment on the part of nurses. Those perceptions and assumptions are a far cry from the reality that we see every day on the floor. And so I think that there's a lot of expectation that isn't being met, and that leads to a lot of frustration on everyone's part. And in this particular article, we look at the frustration of the residents. Obviously, the nurses would have had their own view of what these residents had to say. But I think that, you know, it would be very easy to dismiss what the residents are saying and say, oh, well, they're just wet behind the ears and they don't know what they're doing and how dare they say these things about nurses. But I think it's really important to listen to the kinds of things that they're complaining about, because they point to problems in the standardization of what they can expect from nurses, and also to a very poor understanding of what the nurse's role is in care. Mm. The reason, I think, primarily that the residents were not so concerned about the nurses not being looped into what was going on was because they all share this perception that the nurses just follow their orders. Mm-hmm. And certainly that's not how nurses see themselves. And so I think that there's a real gap between our expectations and the way that people are presenting themselves on the floors and the way that they're working together. That needs to be addressed.
And I think you touched on a really important point, and that is this sort of standardizing the kinds of information that we expect to give and even our expectations of residents. I know we've been publishing a series here on transforming care at the bedside, and we'll be publishing a report in October, and it will include on the TCAB project. And it will include an example of how one unit worked to develop an orientation system for new residents and how it really improved the working relationships on the unit. So on the one hand, I can read your study and I can say, oh, residents, aren't they jerks? And say that medicine really has a lot of work to do. But I don't know that we can do that. It seems to me that we need to be taking a look at the kinds of conversations that we're having as soon as residents come onto a unit. What are the expectations that we all have? And looking at the kinds of information that we give to residents and expect from them. Would you agree with that?
I would very much agree. And, you know, I think it would be a shame to read the article and say, oh, what jerks the residents are. I mean, that is certainly one way to read it. And the other way that it reads is to say, oh, what jerks these nurses are that
exactly.
The poor residents encounter. I don't think that either of those is really the truth. I think that there's a lot of miscommunication, and I think that there's a lot of desire to do what's right by patients, but that there are different definitions of what's right, there are different priorities, and that people aren't really good about talking across them or understanding what it is that the other person brings to the table.
Dana, how much of the residents' motivation, if you will, or frame for their communication with nurses really comes from a place of being unsure of themselves, being scared of what they're going to be confronting on a unit, not knowing who they can trust and who they can count on?
I think that that's certainly part of it. There were two pieces that were going on. One of them is that the residents looked at the nurses, and they said, wait a minute, I've been in school all these years, and these nurses who had so much less schooling than I did are going to come and tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come out of a place where I'm into evidence-based medicine, and I get on the web, and I find out what needs to be done, and maybe I don't have the experience, but then even some of these nurses with a lot of experience don't know what they're doing. They just won't admit it. I mean, we heard this from a number of residents. Some of them had good things to say about the nurses that they worked with, and certainly, as we point out in the article, residents were very flattering toward nurses who had master's degrees. And so there is something going on in terms of common training and understanding of ways of communicating. But beyond that, you know, the residents, on the one hand, you know, really did talk about how the ICU nurse could be worth her weight in gold and really could help you out in a jam. But at the same time, they had this feeling that they owned patient care and that they were responsible for what happens. And, I mean, you hear a lot of the same things when you talk to nurses about really worrying about what's in the patient's best interest. From the residents' perspective, though, here they were training to be in charge of these things and training to be the leaders of teams and feeling like they should have a certain level of maybe respect isn't quite the right word, but compliance from the nursing colleagues that they worked with. And not feeling necessarily that that's what they were getting, and worrying about whether the nurses, whether they could rely on the nurses to give them the right kinds of information in order to make decisions, and also whether the nurses would actually do what it was that they wanted them to do to take care of the patients. And there wasn't necessarily a concern that the resident wasn't choosing the right thing to do. It was more a concern about whether the nurse would actually carry out the orders that the resident had thought about. And one of the things that was really shocking in the study was, you know, when we asked them, well, you know, what do you ask the nurses about, or, you know, what kinds of information do you get from them? They were very clear that they wanted concrete information, for example, about the patient's vitals or any changes in their condition, but they didn't necessarily want the nurse's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't necessarily looking to the nurses, as we sometimes would think that a novice resident might, to help them decide what kind of care to give. And we know that there is, you know, some of this dance that goes on where the nurses make suggestions and then they pretend that it was the resident's idea. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I mean, the residents weren't having a sit-down conversation with their nursing colleagues and saying, well, what do you think we should do?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this the right course of action, or what would you suggest instead? There were a few cases where that happened. I think we point to 4 out of the 20 who talk about the importance of really sharing with the nurses why they're doing what they're doing and asking for feedback on it. But most of the time, the communication with the nurses, as far as the residents was concerned, was to say, this is how I want things done. And here's why, perhaps they would say, and here's why I would like it done that way.
You know, your work really is raising some very important issues, and I hope that it will stimulate interdisciplinary discussions about how we're training physicians and nurses. And in fact, I know that the Macy Foundation is very interested in doing more in terms of interdisciplinary, cross-disciplinary education, that if we're expecting people to work in teams, we better be educating them in teams. So I'm hoping that your piece will, your research will actually stimulate people to start having important conversations that we must have about how we're working together and to develop that kind of teamwork that we know is needed for safe patient care. And I want to thank you very much for sharing it with AJN and our readers, Dana.
Thank you.
I've been talking with Dana Weinberg, an assistant professor in the sociology department at Queens College in Flushing, New York. She's the lead author of a paper called It Depends, Medical Residents' Perspectives on Working with Nurses, that will appear in the July 2009 issue of the journal. I'm Diana Mason, editor-in-chief for AJN.